This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning. Welcome to the Cone Zone. We're your hosts, Grant Cone, Lowell Cone. We're related. That's my dad. Set the scene for you right now. It's the off season. The 49ers have OTAs and a lot of players are there, but most of the captains aren't. Or they're there and they're not practicing. We're talking Trent Williams, not there. Fred Warner, there but watching. Nick Bosa, there but watching. George Kittle, there but watching and rehabbing. And the captains that are on the field are Debo Samuel and Brock Purdy, and that's it. So let's talk about the nature of being a captain and what it means that these captains aren't there, Dad.
Okay, well, first of all, it's very important to be a captain.
Yes.
A lot of teams, they even have a C on their helmet or on their uniform. It's first of all, it's an honor. Mm-hmm. You represent the best the team has to offer as a player, as a leader, and in your character. In addition, it shows leadership. It helps inculcate a culture into a locker room and into a team. A captain comports himself a certain way. Joe Montana comported himself a certain way, and people looked at Joe. How do I learn? Steve Young comported himself a certain way. Oh, that's the 49er way. That's what they expect of me. I'm learning from my peers, not from the coaches. So, Iggy, are you saying that 4 of 6 captains either did not show up or did not participate?
Right, and the 7th captain was Eric Armstead, who's gone.
Well, so he's as John Gruden would say, he's irrelative.
Yes.
But 66% of the captains did not show up or participate. Well, in terms of leadership, in terms of bringing a team together, those captains were not performing their function. Now, I know a lot of people here are 49er diehard fans. God love you. Thank God. But it's how I feel. So I want to tell you a story that Iggy knows, but Tom Homo, you've heard of him. He was safety at the Niners, right, Iggy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a hell of a safety. He was briefly the football coach at Cal, and he didn't do a good job. And then he went to BYU, where he's been for a long time, the athletic director. And I can tell you that anyone who knows Tom Homo knows that he is a wonderful person, the most decent, normal, straightforward guy. In 1992, he was writing a master's thesis to get his master's. And he asked me as a courtesy if I would read it to see if there were any fixes I would suggest, if the grammar was okay and all that. It was splendid. All I had to do was tell him I love it. The subject was captains. He thought that the honorary role of a captain was so important on the 49ers. He wrote his whole master's thesis on captaincy and got his master's. That's how he was never a captain, and that's how much the concept meant to him as a player on those great 49er teams that actually won Super Bowls. So one day he needed input from Joe Montana because Joe was the greatest and Joe had been a captain. So he phoned Joe at home. But he was so nervous, and they had been teammates. He was so nervous to talk to Joe because, one, Joe was Joe Montana, and two, Joe had been a captain. So Homo, who is a very composed man, was babbling on the phone. He was saying things too quick. He couldn't get his questions out. And finally, Joe Montana, who's a nice man, had to say, "Tom, calm down. We're teammates. Take your time. I'll answer all your questions." And Joe, of course, came through and was wonderful. And Tommy Homo wrote this just great thesis on being a captain. And when I read it, I learned a lot about it. And I mostly learned how really important it is in the it was in a great 49ers locker room. That's my story, Iggy.
It's a good story. And what's interesting is, like, comparing these Niners to those Niners, like, they were just a mere lemonade stand. But when they got to the Super Bowl, they won it. So there was something that they were doing right. And I didn't cover those teams you did. No, it was a long time ago. I would imagine it was a different era. Guys like Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, they didn't just show up and watch. I feel like with Jerry Rice, you'd have to hold him back.
Iggy, you still have to hold Jerry Rice back.
Yeah. The idea of, and I don't understand if this is a new thing in the NFL, but like establishing, reaching a certain level of performance, like I'm a Pro Bowler, I'm an All-Pro, or I make a lot of money. And so OTAs really aren't for me. Those are for the young guys. Let them get the extra reps. They don't need me out there. Yeah, they do need you out there. They need you to be the captain that they elected you to be. Set the standard every day. This is how we practice. Isn't that what Jerry Rice would do? This is how I practice. I'm the best.
Absolutely. And another thing, it shows I care.
I care.
I'm going to get my butt out there. I'm going to sweat. Even though I'm a vet, I have a lot of money and I'm a captain. I'm going to get my butt out there because I care, and I care to show you, to mentor you, and to help us create a team. Because every single season, you have to go through creating the team yet again. And I want to tell you something else. When I used to sometimes talk to Steve Young, which was quite often in the football season, only about football, he talked about something he learned when he joined the 49ers. And he said, "We have it," IT, capital I, "we have it." And he said, it's hard to define, but anyone in that locker room, these are championship locker rooms, knows what it is. And it is the 49er way. Iggy, I don't know if there's a 49er way anymore. I don't know if there's it anymore. And I'll tell you why. One of the reasons is because Fred Warner didn't get his butt out onto the field. He thought standing there was it. Brock Purdy played.
Debo played.
He participated. Debo played. That's it. Standing there isn't it. And I want to tell you an irony in this. You know where Fred Warner went to college.
BYU.
Where Tommy Homo is the athletic director. And
right.
Homo, I've never met him, Fred, but Homo really thinks he's a wonderful guy. And I take Tommy's word for it. Well, I think he'd be a little disappointed to know that his guy stood there, his arms around his across his chest, thinking that standing there was it. It is not standing there. It is participating like Debo did. That's it.
You know, Fred Warner, middle linebacker, you're the quarterback of the defense. It kind of matters whether you're out there. Imagine if the quarterback of the offense, Brock Purdy, decided, you know what? I was fourth in the MVP voting last year. I'm going to get paid $1 billion next year. I got to protect my investment. It's not worth it to me to be in these practices. I could get hurt. You know, I could trip. I could fall. I could pop an Achilles. These things happen. And so, you know what? Josh Dobbs, these are great reps for Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen. I will catch up with you guys. What if he did that? He can't. So why is everyone else doing it? And it was crazy last week. When week one of OTA started, Bosa showed up and practiced, and it was like a freaking parade. Oh, congratulations, Nick. Wow, it's so great that you would do that. And they asked Brock Purdy, what does it mean that Bosa's here practicing? And he goes, you know, it's just so big, because if Bosa's practicing, that shows that it really matters. Cut to the next week, he's not practicing.
Right. He's standing there like Warner, right?
Yeah.
He was there. With Warner, and the message, we're talking about messages, by the way. The theme is messages. The message is, all I got to do is stand there. Mm-hmm. All I got to do is stand there, and that shows leadership. Baloney. I don't think so. I don't like it.
Also, the captain is supposed to be one of the guys. Like, you're the captain of the team, not of the select core group of players. I joke around and call them the Cabo Clique. They call themselves the core group on the team, and I object to the premise. You're a team. There's not a team within a team. It's not like Oakland and Piedmont inside. That's how they treat themselves. There's like Oakland, and then there's this little neighborhood of millionaires, and it's completely separate from the rest of the city. That's the Niners' core group. And you'll hear Kittle talk about it. Well, we still got our core group here. Well, your core group hasn't gotten it done. Your core group's getting older, and it's supposed to be one team.
I like your Piedmont reference. That was really nice, Ziggy.
You know what I'm saying? Like a yeah. city within a city, like Piedmont or Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So, captains, get your butt in the building. Errol Tolbert says, how are the quarterbacks looking? Pretty good. I mean, it's hard to look as good as Brandon Allen does, but they all look pretty good. But is Brandon Allen creating a quarterback controversy? It's too early to say. Too early to say. Okay. So Brandon Ayuk, not at OTAs. Niners don't seem to be crying about it. They're not begging him to come back. It doesn't seem. In fact, they've got reinforcements. What message are the 49ers sending Brandon Ayuk right now?
Well, let's also add, they just signed Juwan Jennings to an extension.
Yeah, there is that. And they gave him a nice little pay increase. He's going to be making like $10 million next year.
So they signed him to an extension. And in the draft, they took two wide receivers.
Not just one.
Two. And so this is the message they're sending him. And by the way, they're being very quiet with the media. The message they're sending him is, we don't need you. Mm-hmm. We don't need you. You know, we'd like to have you. We'd like to have you. Our preference is we'd like to have you, and we'll pay you a lot of money. We may not pay you what you would like, but we'll pay you a lot of money, and you'll be rich for this generation and the next generation. But if you don't take it, we don't need you. I think that's what they're saying. And in fact, without saying it, it's like they've taken the bat signal out and put it all over the Bay Area. Would you agree, Iggy?
I completely agree. Hell of a player. We'd love to have you, but you don't have leverage over us. We're not just going to bend over backwards to bring you back as soon as possible. In fact, if you stay away, we like Ricky Pearsall. We still have George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, although he's not there yet, but theoretically they have Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. They have plenty of weapons.
Yeah.
Ayuk's replaceable.
Yeah, we don't need you. And what's more, we don't throw down the field all that much, so we don't exploit exactly what you do in our offense. And in the Super Bowl, you took yourself out of the game by arguing all the time with the other players and wanting to fight with them. This has been cataloged. We know this. So sure, it would be nice to have you, as they say in football announcing, you're a good piece. I love when they talk to human beings as pieces. You're a good piece, but we have other pieces. So that's the clear message without them having to say it to him and his agent. And they have to deal with it and digest it and think what it means. Because Iggy, they're not going to give him what he wants.
It's very interesting because every week there's another wide receiver around Ayuk's age who gets an extension. And every week it's a little bit more. It's $28 million a year, $76 million guaranteed. And so it seems like it emboldens Ayuk and his agent to stand firm. Like, this is the market. We're not asking for more than what we're worth. On the other hand, the Niners seem less inclined to meet this player's demands than they have any player in the past. Like, you said they don't need him. The message they're saying is, we don't need you. They never sent that message to Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. They need those players. Ayuk seems to be more replaceable in their eyes, even though he may be the most expensive.
Iggy, in the three, if you know this, in the three playoff games, how many catches did he, how many passes did he catch?
Nine.
That's three a game.
Jennings had 11.
Yeah, I mean, when it was the big stage, he caught three passes a game. Mm-hmm. That's not impressive. We don't need that. We need better than that.
Yeah, you got to spend $30 million a year to get three catches a game in the playoffs. You could probably get that from Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, that's $10 million a catch.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how far apart the Niners and Ayuk are in their contract negotiations right now. It seems like both sides are pretty confident.
I think Ayuk is sweating it more because Ayuk has said some crummy things.
It's true.
And the Niners have not reacted. They've not responded. I think they feel they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, because from Ayuk's perspective, it's like, it doesn't have to be the Niners who pay him. It could be anyone. But as long as he gets what he feels he's worth, that's fine. But the draft passed, doesn't look like he's going to get traded, and the Niners still want to drive a hard bargain. He must be sweating it.
That's what I think. Yeah. And again, I'm on the side of the players usually, although I don't consider players labor. I don't. I mean, but usually I'm on the side of the players. But in this case, not particularly. I think he could earn a lot of money, or eventually he'll go somewhere else and earn a lot of money. I don't care.
Yeah, it could be deferred a year, but what the Niners shouldn't do is just capitulate for the sake of making him happy and giving him whatever he wants. That would be a big mistake.
If I were management, I wouldn't do it. And I would clearly convey the message, we don't really need you. And not only would I convey it, I would mean it. I would believe it, that we can be a championship caliber team, which I believe they are, championship caliber team, without you.
Yeah, I mean, if you take him off the team and you don't pay him $30 million a year and you trade him for some draft picks who are cheap, then you still have Debo, Kittle, McCaffrey, Jennings, Juszczyk. That's still the best group of weapons in the league without Ayuk, or close
and
to
Iggy,
it.
And they drafted two, and they still have Ronnie Bell. And
forget,
I mean,
yeah.
I've seen him in limited action, but I think he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. He was at Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Harbaugh liked him.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they could make up the difference. They could make up the difference, especially because Ayuk didn't come through in the playoffs very much. And he would be better on a team like the Raiders, where they want to mm-hmm. throw deep all the time. He'd be better on the Raiders or other teams of that sort. He'd be
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Yeah. Maybe even the Chargers.
Yeah.
Then he would be he'd be more effective on those teams than with Brock Purdy and the Niners, who run a different offense.
Yeah, that's why this is so different than any situation the Niners have been in with a player before. Like, would you couldn't say that about Debo. Would Debo be better on another team? No, absolutely not. Would Bosa be better on another team? No. Fred Warner? No. Ayuk? He's the first one where you're like, they don't really take full advantage of him, and
right.
he needs more targets than he's getting, and. No, it that's why this Ricky Pearsall pick sort of is beginning to make sense, because that contract for Ayuk doesn't.
You know, the other thing is Bill Walsh always emphasized yards after the catch. Yak. Debo, obviously, in a way, his whole game is yak mm-hmm. because he's so hard to bring down. My impression, just from looking, not consulting stats, Ayuk is not a big yards after the catch guy. He catches the ball and knock him down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So right. it has to be very precise with him. Right. Boom, you're open, you catch it. He's not going to catch it and run 10 more yards.
No. So to get the most out of him, you need to get him the ball down the field. And that requires a few things. A quarterback with a strong arm. The Niners don't really have that. An offensive line that's really good in pass protection, so the quarterback gets more than 2 seconds, so that Ayuk gets more than 2 seconds to run a route. Niners don't have that.
Right.
And a coach who's really sophisticated with the drop back passing game. Niners don't have that either. So he should go somewhere else. And I think he knows it. I think he knows it.
And I think they know it. So mm-hmm. there's this friction. There's this mm-hmm. friction. It'll be very interesting to see how it comes out. Now, again, you know, we have a bet, Iggy and mm-hmm. I. I say he's on the roster. Did I say on the roster or would play the first game?
I think we said on the field week one, and I somehow said not on the field week one.
Okay, on the field. And on the field means in a helmet and running around. It doesn't mean standing on the side like Fred Warner.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
On the field.
Okay. The next message. What is the message the Niners are sending the rest of the NFL with what they're saying, with their attendance, with the way they're approaching the beginning of this long journey?
Iggy and I have obviously talked about this a lot in the last few days, and we've both came up separately with the one word, weary, that they seem weary, that think of pushing the boat. Well, you used climbing a mountain again, like
that's
Mount
what
Everest.
They said.
Yeah, Mount Everest, you're at the base camp and you have to go. And at a certain point, you have oxygen deprivation. It's really hard. It's a pain in the neck. And they did all of that last season and they didn't get to the top.
No.
They didn't get to the top of Mount Everest. And here they're thinking, oh, we have to do all this again?
Yes.
It's hard. And
we've done this so many times.
And we don't do it. And what I'm getting from a distance and what Iggy's getting from being there is, we'll wait till we work hard because we're a little tired. We're a little weary now. We'll wait till training camp. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that's the message you want to give the league or you want to give yourselves. What do you think, Iggy?
Yeah, it feels like they keep saying, like, boy, it feels like we just were in the Super Bowl. So they're still physically tired, emotionally drained from what happened. And it's like, instead of being up for what's in front of them, they're still preoccupied with what just happened. And I think maybe that's the Super Bowl hangover, like, not just losing the Super Bowl, but losing the way you did with the lead late. It's hard to turn the page and look at the future, even though you say, oh, that's the past. Like, yeah, but are you more focused on the opportunity in front of you or the opportunity that you just missed? And I think they're more focused on the opportunity they just missed.
I would have to agree with you. And I'm not necessarily sure they're thinking about the Super Bowl. They just have all the physical and emotional weariness of it. And they're not ready to take the next step forward. And in a sense, they already missed the first step.
Yeah, it's like, let's stay with the metaphor of climbing Mount Everest. It's like they did the whole journey. They got, 100 feet from the top? They got so close to the top that they could almost touch it. And that's going to haunt them the rest of their lives. Like, we were there. I saw it. I thought I knew what it would feel like. I reached out to grab it and I couldn't grab it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. As opposed to we're going to get it this year. We're going to get it this year. Like, nah, it's hard to be closer than we were last year.
And it sounds like they're more focused on closer than we're going to get it. And well, let me say something. It's the role of the coach to get them focused on, we're going to get it. We were so close. It was wonderful. And this year we're going to get it. That's where the coach comes in. That's what motivation is, right, Iggy? That's what a coach
does. I want to stick with the metaphor of the climbing the Everest. It feels like the players looked at Kyle as the tour guide they trusted for a long time. And now that they've been close to the summit twice and haven't reached it, feels like they're kind of looking at him like, maybe this time if we're 100 feet away from the summit, you're not going to be the guy who shows us how to get there. And that's tough. Like, we got to figure this one out on our own. That's a different mentality.
Because we don't trust the Sherpa guide who's taking us up.
No, we've had unwavering trust in him for years and he can't get us there. And it's not our fault. We're really good.
It's not our fault. So why should we participate in these dinky OTAs when it doesn't guarantee us anything? I'd rather just stand on the sideline and observe.
Yeah, Kyle doesn't. Well, what's Kyle going to say to us? Hey, you got to come to these OTAs so we can win the Super Bowl. Man, we tried it your way. It didn't work. Now we got to pace ourselves because we're getting older.
And look, he made a special request to Nick Bosa to come to the first version of the OTA, and he did. But he wasn't willing to extend himself for the second one.
Mm-mm.
His loyalty to Kyle only extended to one practice.
Yeah. Here you go. Don't ask for more. Kyle said, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Whatever you give me.
See, anyway, funny. You think of Kyle as being one of the strongest coaches in the league. He,
I don't.
Right now, it doesn't seem like it.
Iggy, I don't think of him as one of the. I think of him as, and I use the word nerd for him, but I don't mean it in a bad way. I think of him as a nerd who likes to sit in his room and make up plays.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a nerd. He's, you know, one of these geeks who's great at that. But I don't think of him as an inspirational leader.
No, but I think his players thought that he was so good at drawing up plays that he was a real asset to their quest for the Super Bowl victory. But now I think they're looking at him as, can this guy help us? I mean, he can help us get close, but can he help us get over the top? So far, no.
And so let's come back to the players. If there's weariness, it's there. It's there. Mm-hmm. And so what the weariness reflects is a deep down lack of belief.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw George Kittle's press conference the other day, but he's usually the antithesis of weary. He's always kind of like turned up and bubbly, and he's not really like that anymore. He has this, he seems deflated. Maybe he won't in a few months, but right now he seems deflated. And when you ask him about the Super Bowl loss, he really talks about having to come to terms with losing two of them and how he's talked to Joe Staley about it and Garrett Celek about it. It almost feels like he's halfway in retirement and coming to terms with the fact that he won't win a Super Bowl. And I haven't heard this team talk like that. Like, they're almost resigned to the fact that it's not going to happen for them, at least the older players.
Interesting. Yeah. What is Kittle rehabbing from?
A core muscle injury. It's serious. And he played through it for half the season last year, and he said that the Niners didn't find anything wrong when they did a scan on him.
Okay. I'm sure the Niners have the best doctors.
Of course.
I am. I'm sure they have the best doctors.
It just shows that Kittle sacrificed a lot and played through a lot and has maybe some reason to feel deflated. Like, his body could be going soon. He's going to be 31 this year. And he easily could have shut it down last year halfway through, but didn't, because
he believed
there was a quest.
They saw the top of the mountain. He believed. Mm-hmm. Well,
they really thought they were going to get there last year, Dad. You know they did. I don't know if they feel that way right now.
No. I would say this doubt.
Yeah. Last year, it's like, look, we've never lost a game that Brock Purdy started and ended. We're the best team. We're going to prove it. They couldn't. And it wasn't Brock's fault.
Doubt is a bitch.
Doubt is a bitch. All right, let's pause for some sleeper picks, and then we'll get back to Brock Purdy. Okay. The Giants are playing the Yankees at home. We got Hicks tonight. Pitch Jordan Hicks. He's the guy who pitches out of the stretch, right?
I really like him.
Okay. Earned runs, 2.5, more or less.
Against the Yankees? In my neighborhood, the Yankees. The Yiddish-speaking people that refer to the Yankees as the Yankees.
The Yankees?
Yeah, and they thought Mickey Mantle was Jewish, and they would say, they thought his name was Mickey Mendel. Mickey Mendel?
He's good.
I think he's going to get to the Yankees. I think he's going to give up more than 2.5 runs. Okay. And I like him.
I like him too. Soler, boy, he's really, really, really having a tough season. Strikeouts. He had 3 in the last game. He's at half a strikeout. Will he strike out today? Will the sun shine?
The dude will strike out.
Okay. Yaz. No, Patrick Bailey. He's been hot. How about hits for Patrick Bailey?
Well, what's the hit?
Will he get a hit?
He'll get a hit. He's a good player.
He is a good player.
Yeah.
Patrick Bailey. Okay, one more Giant. They're not going to let me do any Yankees. I don't know why, but let's get Chapman. He's been hot. Hits for Chapman. Will he get one? Or an RBI? We could do that.
Okay. I think he's the guy I currently would bet against. No RBIs.
No RBIs? Okay.
No, he hasn't had an RBI
in a while. No RBIs for you, Maddie. All right, let's do one from another league. Let's see. Or let's just do a random one from another game. Goldschmidt still plays baseball? Did you know that? He's not Jewish either, is he?
I'm not. There may be some Jew blood in there. Listen.
There could be some Jewishness.
I want to vote against Bryce Harper. Can we vote against him?
Yeah, Harper. Where you at, buddy? Home runs. Hits, home runs, what do you want to do? No hits, no home run? 1.5 hits is set at.
No, he won't get 1.5 hits. I want to. No. I don't like his work.
I don't like his face.
You know, I don't either. Now, I don't have the greatest face, but there's an attitude there, right, Iggy?
There's an attitude. I don't like him. Yeah. All right, I'm locking in the our picks. Here they are. If you want to make them as well, use the promo code COHN. Get deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. Okay, Dad. Take that out the thing. All right, let's talk Chris Sims. Chris Sims, let's put it on the board. Just a second. Hold on. Chris Sims, there it is. There it is. There. Okay.
I can't read that.
Chris Sims has Brock Purdy ranked 17th on his 2024 top 40 quarterback list, according to Coach Yak. He had no business winning the divisional playoff game this year, said Chris Sims. None. He should have thrown 4 interceptions at least. I mean, he hit Green Bay in the chest like 5 different times. He missed people on open everywhere. He wasn't that much better in the Lions game and, of course, in the Super Bowl. What I would say to a lot of people, if you had a top 10 quarterback, you won the Super Bowl. The 49ers are the Super Bowl champs. There were a few plays and throws in that game that I go, no, the top 10, the upper tier quarterbacks that sometimes I hear Niner fans try to say Brock Purdy would be in, I would go, no, you would have the Super Bowl then if that was the case. What do you think of Chris Sims' argument?
I think he needs to learn a subjunctive if that were the case.
That's a good point.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. Let me, I think there's a lot of layers here. I want to first say I respect Chris Sims. I respect that he was a former quarterback, that he probably knows his business, and he had the guts to come up with what in the Bay Area is a controversial point of view and to defend it. So I admire all those things. I happen to disagree with him, but I don't think he's a jerk for saying what he said. Fair enough, right? I mean, I've done that enough and been wrong enough. Yeah. I like people who have opinions. To say that Brock Purdy is the 17th best quarterback in the league, I think is wrongheaded. And I would like to know what his criteria are, because by every measurable, Iggy, last season, he was probably a top 5 quarterback. I don't think he's a top 5 quarterback, but by every measurable, I think he was pretty much a top 5 quarterback. Right, Iggy?
Passer, I mean, rating. By most measurables, he was number 1.
Yeah. So how do you go from measurables being number 1 to number 17? So I'd like to know what Chris Sims is basing it on. And he doesn't really say. He says if they had a better quarterback, they would have won the Super Bowl. I want to come back to that because I really disagree with that.
Yeah.
So Iggy, do you know what his criteria are?
Well, he also said that Brock Purdy has a slow and inefficient throwing motion. So maybe it's stylistic. Maybe it's in terms of raw talent. I could understand. I feel like it's hard to rank someone like Brock because his resume is great. It's one of the best resumes of a young quarterback ever, but it's still thin. It's still a season and a half. And it's really hard to rank someone until you've seen him do it for 2, 3, 4 years. Four years.
Let's talk about his throwing motion.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a rather efficient throwing motion. You know who had a slow and looping throwing motion? Kaepernick.
Yeah.
This kid, in terms of release, not strength, is a cannon compared to Kaepernick. I don't say he has the arm strength, but so I disagree with Chris Sims on that.
I think I understand what he's saying. I mean, he knows more about throwing a football than either of us. I think what he was like, compare it to Jimmy Garoppolo, for example. Jimmy Garoppolo would have a quicker, more efficient release than Brock Purdy. He's more up and out, where Brock Purdy kind of has like a to hear motion, which is fine. It doesn't get him in trouble at all.
Right, right,
right, right.
Okay, so there are 2 more points. would they have won the Super Bowl with a better quarterback? And two, why is Chris Sims saying this stuff?
Yeah, those are the points.
Okay, those are the points. Key points.
So I can understand why Chris Sims would say that, right? The Niners are so good. They have this number one roster. What is the reason why they can't win the Super Bowl?
Right. Let's come back to that. Let's start with, would they have won the Super Bowl with a different quarterback? Mm-hmm. If they had Joe Montana or Steve Young, I think they would have, had a better chance to win the Super Bowl. I do. But I don't think Brock Purdy lost them the Super Bowl. Mm-mm. I don't. I thought among the key players, he had one of the better games of the 49ers. He had a better game than Deebo Samuel. He had a better game than Christian McCaffrey. Iggy.
He absolutely did.
He did. He had a better game than Brandon Ayuk.
And like, he wasn't as good as Patrick Mahomes, but Mahomes' quarterback rating was 99. Purdy's was 89. It's not like the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo.
No. Now, look, if the Niners had Mahomes, would they have won? I think they would have had a much better chance of winning if they had Mahomes. But again, they'd have to face Mahomes, so he'd be facing himself. But anyway, I don't think he's the reason they lost the Super Bowl. I don't. And I think that Chris Sims is putting the blame on Purdy when there's more blame to go. There's more obvious blame to go around among the players, especially among the offensive line, which got decimated. They couldn't handle what Kansas City was doing. So I think Chris Sims is really wrong. And I'm confident in saying that. So the deep question is, why did he say it?
Thing that I think most Niner fans do know or should know about Chris Sims is that he is maybe best friends with Kyle Shanahan. They went to college together. They played college football together. They have each other's initials tattooed on their ankles. They are best friends forever. And I don't know how often they communicate. I would imagine they communicate semi-regularly, especially in the off season. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Sims' views are somewhat in line, in lockstep with Kyle's.
I'm with you. Now, so we want to be very clear on this. This is a hypothesis. We don't know. We're just two guys sitting at microphones talking. So I have no inside information. I don't think my son does either. But we're saying what you're hearing. We're suggesting that what you're hearing from Sims may be a little bit what he's hearing from Kyle.
And it seems to me that Kyle consistently is lower on his quarterbacks than his fans realize. More critical of them. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a candid conversation with anyone, maybe Chris Sims one time, and Sims says something like, boy, what do you think of Brock? Really impressive. And Kyle privately says something like, yeah, look, he's really good. I got no problem with Brock. But if he were really elite, we would have won that game. I'm not going to throw him under the bus publicly because I really like him as a quarterback. But, I mean, watch the tape. There were plays there. I'm just saying. I mean, Kyle isn't the kind of guy who's like, look, man, it's my fault. This quarterback is top five. I held him back. Just give me two more years. I'll reach his level. That's not how Kyle Shanahan thinks. If he didn't win the Super Bowl, it's probably that guy's fault.
That's how I read Kyle Shanahan. He needs a reason that he lost the Super Bowl. He's a man who can't look in the mirror and say, boy, I really blew the whole game in the third quarter. I could have put the game away in the third quarter, but I scored 0 points. And, you know, these are the reasons. He can't do that. So he has to say, you know, if I had Joe Montana or Johnny Unitas, I might have won that game. Mm-hmm. And
it's true.
This is a surmise. It's a hypothesis. He's saying it to his friend. His friend comes out. He's the 17th best quarterback in the league, which is preposterous. I don't think anybody in the league, forget journalists, I don't think any player in the league would rank him 17. He's in the top 10. And Iggy and I figure he's close to the top five, but maybe not quite there. But he's one hell of a quarterback. So if you say he's in the top 10, he doesn't even put him in the top 15, Iggy. He has him at 17. That's pretty low.
Also, I think we've tried to do this exercise ranking quarterbacks to really rank them. You kind of have to try to visualize them on other teams to make an even playing field, which is kind of an academic discussion, one that you can't ever find the real answer to. What matters is that he's great for the Niners. Is he a great quarterback? I don't know. Is he perfect for the Niners? Seems like it. So what's the problem?
Right. It's like Joe Montana was perfect for the Niners, but not for the Raiders. No way. Yeah. And we've talked about that.
Yeah, so he's perfect for the Niners. He played well in the Super Bowl, not as well as Mahomes, but he played well. He didn't play poorly like Jimmy did in the Super Bowl. So it's like Chris Sims is close. With a team this good, if they can't win the Super Bowl, you got to look at someone as being overrated. He's looking at the quarterback. I'm looking at his friend, the head coach.
I'm looking at the initials on his ankle.
Yeah, KS. Man, that guy got outcoached by Andy Reid severely, especially in the second half. That was the difference in the game.
And in the overtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Kyle essentially threw in the towel.
I mean, because what he's saying about Purdy is like, look, Purdy's good, but he's on the best team in football, and if he can't win a Super Bowl with this roster, that says something about Purdy. Well, apply that same logic to your friend, Chris.
Yeah.
He's got the best roster in football and a MVP candidate quarterback, and he can't win the Super Bowl. What does that say about Kyle?
MVP candidate at running back and quarterback.
Uh-huh. True. Yeah, McCaffrey was 3, Purdy was 4 in the voting. That's true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And probably one of them would have won it if the other one wasn't on the team. They probably split the vote. Well, I don't know who to give it to on the Niners. So you had the team.
In Chris Sims' ratings, again, I have not seen this. Can you, if you have it, can you give me the name of any quarterback who he ranked above Brock Purdy that you think is a Fugazi?
Let me see. He may not have come out I think it's like one at a time. I think he's got to Purdy at 17, and then he's going to keep coming out with more after this. So we'll have to see
who he ranked ahead of him. In other words, he starts from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, which is fun.
But it would be interesting. There are certain names that he's left out. I mean,
yeah, like I'm sure he's going to rank Purdy below Dak Prescott, where I don't see how you could do that.
Is Prescott's name on the first 17?
I don't see it. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Iggy, you're starting a football team, NFL. You're the coach and the general manager. You have a choice at quarterback between Purdy or Prescott. Who do you take?
Purdy.
Without Prescott a second thought.
Yeah, I mean, Prescott has a better arm and he's bigger, but like Purdy has a poise about him that Dak doesn't have, and frankly, a lot of quarterbacks don't have. Isn't that true?
Right. Oh.
Absolutely. Like an even-keeled nature that is very rare, and it's a huge asset.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would take him over Dak Prescott any day of the week. Not even a thought. Yeah.
Like, and we haven't seen Purdy poop the bed the way we've seen Dak do it in playoff games, or Jimmy did it in playoff games.
I would take him over the guy in Philadelphia, too, Brock.
I think I would, too. Although, I want to see what Brock does this year. Because Jalen Hurts was better than Brock in the Super Bowl, and then Jalen Hurts had a tough year after the Super Bowl. I want to see how Brock does after the Super Bowl. Already his team isn't here, so now it's much more on him. What do you got? It's going to be interesting to see. And your own coach may be a skeptic. It's going to be a very interesting season.
I love it. I love what you're saying.
Because let's say Kyle is a skeptic. Well, he needs to at least get over that or prove it to be a real issue before the end of this upcoming season, because the team has to make a decision about what to offer him. So if Kyle is thinking he's overrated, then prove it or fix it because they have to make a big decision in like 9 months.
Iggy, if the going rate for quarterbacks is $50 million or something a year, do you get the feeling Brock Purdy would hold out if he weren't getting that kind of money?
I don't get the feeling that he would. No.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he's more realistic, right?
Yeah. I also think the Niners are eager to pay him. As Jed York made it seem pretty clear, he's dying to give this guy his money. He wants to seem like an organization that has everything together.
Okay. Good. Good.
Does that make sense?
Love it. Yeah. Okay.
Juan Solo says, how many years left do you think the Niners have in their Super Bowl window? By the way, you guys are a dynamic duo.
Thank you, Juan. Iggy, I would say, this is going to sound so skeptical, maybe this season.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
The way they're looking in the rearview mirror makes you wonder if it was last year.
Yeah, it could have been last year.
It could have been last year. The rest of the league seems like it's a lot better. Too much sauce, says Mavs or Celtics.
You better do that one, Iggy. I'm familiar with the Mavs, but not the Celtics.
I'm going to say Mavs. I feel like the Celtics lose. They're like the Niners of the NBA.
I got it.
Marquee franchise. They find ways to lose. Dave Barclay, how are we doing today, gentlemen?
You know, I'm in a good mood, and I want to tell you why. I got a Costco membership. I haven't had a Costco membership. And I went to Costco on my own the other day because I'm thinking of getting hearing aids. I'm starting to do like, but the hearing aid station wasn't open that day. So I went around and I got this shirt. I think it was either $9 or $14. And so I'm in a good mood because I got a new shirt. It's a short sleeve. It's hot here in the Oakland Hills. I like the color. I think my wife would have liked it. And so I'm in a good mood with this shirt.
It really matches your aura. And I think it's got to be the nicest $15 shirt that you could get. So I think it's just 14, phenomenal.
14 or 9, let's be clear.
14 or 9.
I got a green one. One was 9 and one was 15.
Like, if you asked me how much that shirt cost, I would have said $40.
I bet it was. You know, they get them in such quantity. I blew it on, and Iggy told me later, I should have got Kirkland t-shirts. I didn't know that, but I got toilet paper and, you know, all that stuff.
We'll go back and we'll buy all the Kirkland t-shirts that they have.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. And anyway, so what I want. Yeah.
A hot dog.
Yeah. I didn't get. There was a big line, so I didn't want to get the hot
dog. They're good.
I got nervous. they're kosher style, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Rob Watson says, Sims has consistently been wrong on anything, Kyle. We should collectively stop caring until he gets one thing right. He's in the dark on 49ers stuff.
I tend to agree with you, Rob. He seems to be wrong on Brock.
Jad is Jat says, do you guys know why they signed Juwan Jennings? I don't know why. Do you know why? I don't. Why? Also, hi, Lowell. Hope you have a good day.
Thank you. Iggy, why did they extend him?
Because he's affordable. Because he fits Brock Purdy's arm. He fits the system. He blocks. He does everything they want. It makes perfect sense. It made way more sense to extend Jennings than it does Ayuk.
Also, he's a very good player.
He's a really good player.
He's a really good player. Iggy, yeah. Do you know him? I don't know these people. Do you know him?
I do. When you talk to him in the locker room, he's not eager to talk. He usually is on the go, which is interesting. Because at the Super Bowl, when you sort of have to talk and you're in those little... You know, they sit you down, they put the table in front of you and the thing behind you. He was great. He had a bunch of fun. He had a smile on his face and he was joking around. So it seems like there's a whole personality there that he hasn't quite shown people yet because he's younger. But now it could come out. And when you get paid, it usually comes out.
Okay. Also, he may be one of these athletes who feels, I'm busy. I have to do everything for the team. And the media doesn't figure into that.
I would say that's exactly who he is.
Buster Posey was like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you respect players, especially like Buster Posey. You're a leader of the team. You need to talk. Juwan Jennings, you were a seventh round pick. You got cut. You were fighting so hard to make a career. I get it. But now I wonder if he'll like take a deep breath and become more of a spokesman of the team because he has the personality for it.
Iggy, you know what you can do? And I think maybe I would have done this. If he's in the locker room one lunchtime and you're in there, but you feel he doesn't want to talk, you go over and say, hey, I want to tell you, I really enjoyed what you did at the Super Bowl. Mm. I didn't really know much about you, but I have to tell you, I thought you were just charming.
Good idea.
Iggy, I would do that.
I know you would. It's a good idea. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Zara says, Travis Kelce and Chris Jones were at Chiefs OTAs this week, but both skipped the media day. Why do you think they did that?
Travis Kelce and Chris Jones skipped the media day. Okay, meaning They didn't practice on the media day or didn't talk to the media. I can't say what was in their minds. I'd like to, but I can't. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Good question. I think we're about at the end of the show. Wait, there might be one more. Dave Barclay. Lowell, that story about Costco was worth this 20. Love you, gentlemen.
Thanks. Here's the other thing. I don't like asparagus, okay? But you got to remember, I haven't been there. So I got asparagus. Now, I got enough asparagus probably for my whole neighborhood. And I'm never going to cook these asparagus. Eventually, I'm going to get rid of them. But I got them because they were a good price. Do you understand? I think the first time you go to Costco, you lose your mind. I went to save money and I spent $361 on ridiculous things, but I got it out of my system. And the next time, you know, I'll talk to the people about hearing aids. I'm a little reluctant to get a hearing aid, but I've been talking to Iggy a lot about it. And I'm not sure why I'm reluctant. Iggy, I have one more topic.
Sure.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Iggy and I got together this morning to talk about our topics, and please take Dave's little comment off. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking about our topics, and for a moment, I went into jerk mode. I was a jerk, and I pissed Iggy off, all right? And he gave me what we call the look. Can you give him the look? And the look means, that was really stupid and rude. And when he gave me the look, it made a chill come down me. And then I started laughing. And he says, what are you laughing? And I said, well, actually, that's the look I used to give you when you were a kid. And so he gave me my look. And what were you thinking when you gave me that look?
Dude, relax. We were sitting brainstorming ideas for the show, and you had just fired off the tweet previewing the show. And I said, oh yeah, one more idea for the show. And you said, well, I just sent off the tweet. And I looked at you like, okay, but we can still think of ideas for the show, right?
Yeah. So now you got behind the scenes and he gave me the look, and it made me feel really bad. But then I realized that's the look.
You've been giving me that look my whole life. It's okay. Your tushy doesn't fall off as you used to tell me.
Okay. So that's the show. Right.
Thanks for watching, everyone. Dad, I love you.
I love you, Iggy. Take care.
See you, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.